Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of JC Chats, and I'm your host, Jane. And today's episode, we're actually going to be talking about social media. And I mean, everyone knows what social media is all about, to me, to a certain extent, because I mean, you're watching me talk on social media. So, you know, you're already on social media. So anyway, today I brought in a very special guest, Kirsten, to talk, you know, talk about this topic with me. And hello, Kirsten.
Hello.
How are you doing? How's circuit breaker for you?
Actually, honestly, circuit breaker has been quite enjoyable for me because I've been very busy before circuit breaker. So this allows me to rest a lot more. So I'm honestly enjoying it. And like, I'm talking to Jane almost every night on house party. So hello again.
So for those who don't know, Kirsten and I are very good friends. So I already know Kirsten like quite a fair bit. So, but for those who don't know who Kirsten is, would you like to share a little bit about yourself and what you do and who are you?
Okay. Yes, my name is Kirsten. I'm a national hurdler and I'm also studying full-time in Singapore Management University. I major in marketing and communications, and on the sideline, I'm also a social media influencer.
Social media influencer. If y'all don't know, right, I'm going to put up her page here and then y'all can see, you know.
Better follow like, me.
She has 11,000 followers, so okay. I mean, whoa, 11,000. Okay, before we jump right into this whole topic, right? Let's just start off with a joke, cause why not? Let me ask you. You suck at jokes, but I'm still gonna
tell you. Excuse me.
Okay, so I'm gonna say the joke. Pay attention. What do you call a crying sister?
A crying sister.
Yeah, a crying sister.
I don't know.
How do you even, a sister and a whale is like completely different?
Because whale like W-A-L, that's also crying, right?
Like wailing.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay.
It's called a crisis.
Oh god.
I'm gonna cue that music. Okay. So going back into the topic of social media. What platform do you use the most, like, you know, to keep up and all that?
Definitely Instagram. I'm on it quite a lot every day. But I'm also slowly getting myself onto TikTok as well, because I think that's a platform that is up and coming. So I'm trying to figure out how I can be involved in TikTok.
Yeah, but honestly, TikTok is actually quite fun. Like,
yeah, it's very addictive.
It's actually so addictive. It's like you're watching one and then it's so quick. Video. It's just like... Then you
yeah,
yeah. 3 hours later, you're like, oh, it's reached 4 a.m.
Oh. Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay, so you already consider yourself as a social media influencer, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me through, what defines an influencer? Is it like sponsorships? Like you need to promote for brands and all that kind of stuff? It's like, you know.
That's about the gist of it. So actually anyone can be an influencer. You can be a micro influencer, meaning you only have like 1-2,000 kind of followers, mm-hmm. or like macro, which is maybe 10, 20 or like 100,000 followers. So actually, as long as you're promoting an item or a product or a brand, mm-hmm. that entails you to be an influencer, because as the word says, influencer, you're influencing, you know, you're influencing someone to have a call to action, like either to follow or to purchase or like to look up, find out more about a certain product. So mm-hmm. as long as you're doing some sort of promotion, you're actually already considered an influencer. But I think it still comes down to whether or not you yourself want to admit that you're an influencer, you know, because it took me like maybe 1-2 years before I finally admitted that, yeah, I'm actually an influencer, because I wasn't used to it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of course, with influencer, like, it comes down as well to certain kind of credibility as well, right?
For sure. I mean, you're putting out content for people to see and people are actually like following you and seeing what you
do, right? So I need to make sure that the content is to a certain extent authentic.
Yeah. Okay, so would you consider yourself a micro or macro? Because you're not at the 2K plus, but you're not at like the 100 over 1,000 that is like a macro, right? And you're at like 11K, which is really damn, like really, really very, very good. So like, where do you stand in that like whole spectrum?
Honestly, I also don't know, because I actually only hit actually only hit like 11k like this year, you know, like I only hit across that 10k mark around this year.
Oh wow.
So actually I don't even know whether I would consider myself micro or macro. Some people say I'm still micro, some people say I'm a macro. So I'm not sure either. So I'm just gonna say like I'm just a social media influencer. Or in other words, it's also called the key opinion leaders, you know, it's just a different term for it. Or content creators. So it's like we are like a key opinion leaders, you know, we give opinions. Kind of things, or like content creators because they're creating content. So there's many different names, but the commonly used name is influencer.
Wow. And then I did not know key opinion
leaders.
Leaders. That's new.
In short, it's like KOLs.
Oh.
Some brands will say like KOL.
So that's what KOLs is all about. Okay, I have no idea that was what it meant.
Yeah, but the common term is influencer.
Yeah, like, I mean everyone knows. Like, you know, when you say, oh, I'm an influencer, everyone knows, like, what it is. Like, you don't really need to. It's very self-explanatory, right? Okay. Yeah. So, what do you normally post on, you know, Instagram? Do you, like, factor in, you know, since you're an influencer and you, you know, have to, you're under, you're a Sports SG ambassador as well as you're under Armour Athlete, right? So, do you have to consider, like, the things that you post online or, like, what do you usually post?
Normally, yes, I have to consider what I post because I tend to try posting photos that will allow me to reach out to a wider audience or a higher engagement rate. Because for me to get like sponsors or any job postings, often the company look out for engagement rates. So I need to make sure that, like, let's say for example, if someone were to, like a company wants to use me for posting and I'm mainly posting about fitness, and I suddenly can promote a product like me in a going out kind of attire, my engagement rates gets very low. And I won't reach out to as much people as if I were into as compared to if I were in fitness wear. And for a company point of view, they wanna be able to reach out to bigger audience. So I need to make sure that I produce the content that help the company to be able to reach out to a bigger audience possible. So often my products that I promote is usually relating to fitness, because somehow like my fitness post only does like way better as compared to like if I wear like an OOTD or a travel photo. Yeah, so I tend to post stuff that what my audience want to see. There's a reason why like audience will want to follow you for a certain kind of unique
dress. right. Yeah. But these posts get you your income, right, in a way?
Yeah, here and there. Yeah,
you mega baller, but then like everyone knows where your money is coming from.
Hey, no. I mean, I hope to get more jobs, you know. But yes, people will pay me to post for them, and that's how I earn most part of my side income. That helps me, really helps me a lot in being able to train and still study. Because for me to take a photo and post it up, I probably only need 5 minutes, and it pays me like more than a whole day job if I work outside part time, you know. So that really helps me to just focus on my studies and training. And especially for me, I use my legs. If I were to be standing at a retail shop whole day, by the time I go for training, my legs are so honestly, this really helps me so much.
Yeah, retail is not fun. Like, I'm working at a supermarket now. And like, standing for 8 hours at one go is a big, painful. big. Like, your legs will just get super sore. And then you're like, how do I go for my run now?
Yeah, that's why. So I'm like, I'm very thankful that I able to earn through social media. It really helps me so much.
That's good though. It's good money. Like, I won't ask you like your rates and all, because like that's all like private and confidential and all that. But like, it's good that, you know, you're getting your income from there and you're like supporting yourself at 23, right? You're 23.
Yeah.
You turned 23 2 days ago. Yeah. So I mean, it's good lah. I mean, you're 23, you're getting a stable, you're sort of stable income as a student and, you know, being an influencer and all that, which is nice to know, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. Very happy, actually.
Okay, so what was, like, how do you start off being an influencer? Because I'm sure everyone is very interested, because everyone has to start somewhere, right? Like, you know, you don't become an influencer, like, overnight. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, people are interested to know how do you rise up in a way that from nothing you become like, you know, 11,000 followers and, you know, getting paid for your posts and all that. Like, care to share?
Okay. Yeah. So actually, I did not plan to be an influencer when I first started joining Instagram. So I had Instagram when I was 14 years old. That's when Instagram just came out. And I was from a sports school. So in sports school, almost the whole school would follow one another because the community is small. So like when I'm 14 years old, when it just came out, you know, the people from 14 all the way to my seniors would follow me. And as I go up the years, the juniors will all follow me as well. Even until like today, there's still juniors following me. So the community is so close-knitted. So most of my followers initially was actually just sports school students. So actually sports school students, often they will easily get like 2,000-3,000 followers quite easily from the school. Or like even when you go out to compete with people, often you'll meet a lot more people as well. So I feel that for sports school people, often they tend to get a lot more followers than others. I'm not sure why, maybe because like everybody's just so close-knitted, you know, or maybe because we play sports and so we meet a lot more people outside as well. So that's how I actually started, you know. I really never planned to be an influencer, so that's quite a lucky stumble. You know, I was just looking out for sponsors just to support my own training, you know, getting clothes, apparel sponsors, you know, that was all how I started. And I'm so glad that I had sponsors come in just to support me, but not for influencing things. Uh-huh. It's really just to support my training. Yeah. And eventually, as my followers grew, I got like my first paid posting. Like someone emailed me, and it was only in, if I'm not wrong, it's 2018 or like end of 2017. Is it the end of 2017 or start of 2018?
Oh, that's very recent.
Yeah, honestly, it's very recent. So back then, my followers, if I'm not wrong, was only around 5,000. Mm-hmm. If I'm not wrong, 4,000 or 5,000. So really somehow I got like my very first.
It's really quite
really? Okay. I mean, compared to like influencers that are macro influencers, you know, I wouldn't count myself as a lot at that time. But yeah, that's how I got my first job. And I'm like, whoa, the money pays so well for like for like one post. Like, oh damn, this is something I wanna go into. I mean, of course back then my pay was way lower because I didn't have as much followers and my content wasn't as amazing. So over the years I really learned, and that's how I think my profile got a lot more attention on social media. I started to put in more effort in learning how to reach out to more audience, putting out nicer content, and I grew a lot more in the last 2 years. And of course more jobs, more postings, you know,
then more money.
That's one as well. Right.
What was Instagram like for you? Like, do you just post whatever you want without like a care in the world? Just like, oh, you know, I think like, you know, when you're young at the time, 14 years old, you take selfies, obviously, right? You're like, oh, quite cute. Then you just post it.
I will post about a friend. I just take a random photo and just post it up. You know, I will even post a photo of like a bed, that kind of thing, like in sports school. You know, like just the track. You know, just random stuff. Because it was private and it was just to my own friends that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't really have to be worried about what I post. Mm. Yeah, so of course like now I watch what I post because anytime people can just pick on it, you know, put it up to like mothership and like my whole and I don't want to take that risk because I think for me, like social media is to a certain extent quite important because that's where I get most part of my income. And because I also want to go into marketing and communication in the future, I think being on social media influencer, it kind of helps me to be a bit more ready for my career in the future. So I need to be very careful with what I post. You know, I will be careful with the caption I use. I will not use like vulgarities. You know, I'll make sure what I post is always authentic. You know, so no one can really pick on me on anything.
Yeah.
And so of course with that, I
might take this part and then
sorry, froze.
Yeah, I'm gonna screenshot that part and put it. Yeah. And what it's so funny. Dude, like I'm gonna put it right here now. I'm gonna put it right here now. This is the screenshot, so just look at it. This is Kirsten, okay?
Kirsten at her truest form. No
behind the scenes, you know, like this one no filter. This one really no filter.
Behind the scenes of all her posts.
One question for before you became an influencer, did you or did you not use the old school Instagram filters to post your photos?
Oh my god. All the time, man.
So there was one that was like had this like dark border like the square. Because that's not only Instagram got that only got square, right? They don't
border.
Have the border. Did you use?
Yes, the white color thing. I use that white color thing. And I remember the filter I always use, Nashville, I think.
Oh my god, that's the one that I use. Yeah. I think it's called Nashville, but I don't remember. But it starts with N.
Yes. I can't remember. I think it's Nashville. I think.
Being an influencer or that, like, do you seek any sort of like validation from the things you post, or like, you know, validation from your followers? You know, more likes means you're better liked by people and all that kind of stuff.
For me, actually, I don't really seek validation from Instagram, like from likes, but I know there are many people who maybe not even influencers or influencers as well, they actually seek validation from likes on Instagram. If it makes you happy, sure, but I think it could get a bit unhealthy at times. For me, I don't really seek validation from it because I use my Instagram as a way where I can start to experiment and learn new stuff for my career and future in marketing. Mm-hmm. And also, if I can capitalize on it, then obviously I'm going to capitalize on it. But for me, being a sportsman, I seek a lot more validation in my achievements in sports because that still means a lot to me. I tie a part of my self-worth into sports, and I also see my own self-worth with the way I treat people or like my own character. So for me, I'm happy with where I'm at. I think I'm very balanced across everything that I have, like from school to sports to my friends and to my character. Social media, to me, the likes are of course important because I need to constantly know how to reach out to the biggest amount of crowd possible so that I can continue and income and get more sponsors as well.
I mean, like, for me, not being an influencer or anything, I'm really like not really out there. I'm just living my life and all that. You know, every time you post something on social media, people are, they're always going to be opinions, you know, like good or bad. No matter what you do, whether it's a good cause, bad cause, whatever your message is, not everyone's gonna get it, right? But I keep my social media and my sporting and everything else very separate. Like, things that I don't want to talk about, obviously, it won't be where people would see, usually. You know, I have you guys. I have you, I have Anna, I have Kelly, I have people around me that supports me all the time. So, you know, there's no need for that. But I'm sure some people, obviously, I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, whoever that is seeking certain kind of validation from people, it's not that, like, as if you need to be exact, do what Kirsten does or what I do. It's just that this is not the only platform that you can seek validation from. Like, you have pals around you have your good friends, you have people around you that care. As much as you may think that people don't, it's just that some people show it very, very differently. Like, your parents, your family members, your friends, everyone shows their care and concern very differently. So, but it doesn't mean that they don't care. You get what I mean? Right? So,
don't put your eggs all in one basket.
Yeah. And I think you should, anyone should put your mental health first. And if it's not doing you the best and it's taking a toll, you know, then
start to look into other avenues.
Maybe social media is not the best platform. Okay, so Kirsten, with the status you hold now, because, I mean, you have many followers on Instagram and all that, and people who are older and younger also follow you. Do you only use your platform for sponsorships, endorsements and all that, or do you have like a deeper meaning behind your whole being an influencer kind of thing?
Definitely for me, I don't just use it just for product sponsorships. You know, I'm not posting about product sponsorship every day. I'm also trying to make use of my profile to influence others as well for a bigger meaning than just product sponsorship. You know, I'm trying to influence people, the Singapore community, to be able to live better through sports. I truly believe in the importance of being active in your lifestyle. I think it really helps in your own health and your own mental well-being when you're more active. You know, you don't have to be like a competitive athlete like I do, but I really hope that people will know the benefits of being active. And I'm trying to use the platform that I have since I have 11,000 followers. You know, I can influence a number of people because my followers range from young athletes to like older crowds who are just running just to be fit.
Yeah.
You know, for the younger crowd, most parts of it, I'm trying to influence them that you can still study and play sports. You know, I hope that people can see that the amount of work I put in for my training, despite the the school hours I have despite juggling a university life. You know, if you really want to do something, put your heart into it, you can do it. Yeah. You just got to prioritize your time, put your time for it. So I'm hoping to use my platform as well to influence especially the younger ones, you know, to hopefully go in my pathway as well and continue pursuing the sports if it's something that they really want to do.
Because, I mean, behind the scenes, it's like things that people don't ever see. It's like your hardship, your struggles and all that people don't see because they only see the end product. Isn't that always the case? Because, you know, being an influencer and all that, it's also hard to take your foot off the pedal.
Yeah, that's usually the case. But so I actually post quite a bit of my own training videos online as well. You know, sometimes in school, sometimes in training, you know, people know that I've trained a lot. And I think I've received like quite a bit of messages that people are quite inspired by how I can still manage both my sports and school as well, and that really inspires them to be active again, and that really makes me happy, or inspire the younger ones to be able to excel and pursue their sports. That really makes me very happy.
That's good.
I find a lot more validation in those than just product sponsorship. Honestly, product sponsorship is just one way for me to earn income, but a big part of it, I really hope to use my platform for a bigger voice to influence positive things online.
No, really kudos to you. And those who don't know, go check out Kirsten's Instagram. She has many challenges and filters for you to use. There's the level up challenge, right? The TikTok.
Yeah, try something different.
She tried something different and she started challenging. Maybe who knows? You guys can give it a shot as well. I mean, just for fun. I mean,
try it, man. Yeah,
circuit breaker, right? It's not like you have anything better to do.
The idea of that was I'm trying to use like home stuff of home items you can find at home for people to try to be a bit more active in the new spirit, you know, spice up a bit your day-to-day life.
Okay, so digging deeper into everything else, right? So actually if you Google your name up on, you know, there was this incident that happened or like an article written 2 years ago about a sexual assault that you voiced out.
Yeah.
Like to share a little bit about that?
So actually this incident happened in 2016 with one of my ex-coach. So it came out only in 2018 because of the rise of this hashtag the Me Too movement, where it is meant to encourage victims to speak up against their sexual predators. And so for me, so a reporter asked me whether I'm willing to talk about this case, because in Singapore there's no one who wanted to go Me Too. There's no one who is brave enough, maybe. I'm not sure. So this reporter asked if I'm willing to do that to hopefully influence more people, more victims, to be able to speak up and not be afraid, you know, if you're in a position where your own self is uncomfortable or have been assaulted sexually. I really hope that my story will influence you to speak up as well and really take actions against these predators, because, you know, you don't want to allow these predators to go away scot-free, because when that happens, they think that they can continue to do this to others. For me, I want to speak up. I want to take action and report on it, because I don't want him to continue doing this to other athletes, you know. He has many young girls under him. Yeah. Young girls or guys, you know, guys, it can happen to guys as well. Mm-hmm. And I felt that it would be wrong of me if I did not report on it and if this happened to someone else, you know. Mm-hmm. So I felt that I do not want to harm someone else. I have to speak up. I have to report on him. So people know what are the boundaries that you can cross. I hope my story will influence others, even coaches, that this is boundaries you cannot cross. And I hope it influences the ones who are affected as victims that you should report on it, you know, speak up as well. Don't let them go scot-free.
Honestly, that is very inspiring that you decided to speak up and share, because honestly speaking, a lot of people wouldn't dare to do that. And it's really very, very, very brave of you to speak up, even though it took 2 years. I mean, better than never, you know? And I am so sorry that you have to go through that. But you came out as such a strong woman now, and it's nice to see that you are where you are at today. But I just want to know, like, how did you cope within the last 4 years to get to where you are today? You know, like, have your friends been very supportive, your family and all that? Like, you know, how do you manage to get past this whole thing?
So, like, back in 2016, my teammates were my main bulk of friends that I really count on. So, not having their support was really quite upsetting. You know, when they actually knew about the whole incident throughout the 5 months, you know, it was really upsetting to feel very betrayed. Until today, it kind of still really affects me. But I start to immerse myself with a new group of friends. Thankfully also, I graduated from my poly, you know, I went into university. So I made a new group of friends from my current university. So I have a new teammates to train with, and that really helped me quite a lot. My parents definitely really helped me a lot. No, I didn't tell them actually, because I think it's in our culture to not speak up about such stuff, you know. It's very sensitive, and I think like I just don't dare. I was so young, you know, I don't really dare to like tell my parents or anyone, you know. It's quite common that we tell our own peers, you know, because we are more comfortable, we're able to like share without filters. Yeah. So of course the first thing I do was to tell my friends until it got reported, right? And then they were upset with me for reporting it. So of course I had no choice, but I had to talk to my mom, right? Because it blew up until really big. Yeah. You know, my parents wanted to go down to the police station like when it happened in 2016, but I was so scared at the time. And mentally I was already so weak. So the first priority was actually to make sure that my own mental well-being was fine first before I could pursue anything.
Yeah.
So I only managed to pursue it in 2018, which I'm actually, although I waited 2 years, but I'm glad, because 2018 I'm a lot more, I'm stronger than I was in 2016. So whatever that comes in 2018, I was stronger to be able to handle with the police investigation that was quite long and kind of torturous. It is quite painful. Because especially the lie detector test was so uncomfortable. I was like blanking out and everything. It was very uncomfortable. You know, I had like 6-hour interviews. It was very, very draining. It was very painful. You know, sometimes I think about it, like, would I want to go through that again? It's so painful. Yeah. I don't really want to. But knowing that if I have to suffer so that other people is aware or to be educated about such stuff, you know, that peers shouldn't ostracize you, you should be supporting them. If it's wrong, you should be supporting that victim, you know? You should really help them as well. You know, with the recent situation happening in USA with the racism, you know, there's this quote that it kind of really hit onto me, although it came up because of racism, where it talks about if you're being silent means you have taken the sides of an oppressor, you know? So I think same thing for such cases.
Yeah.
You know, if you knew that someone is being sexually assaulted as a victim and you remain silent, you know, or you even like scold them for it, I think you have taken the side of an oppressor.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's painful, but I felt it was needed to educate more people, you know, make it be a lesson for predators out there to not do this, you know, the kind of hurt and emotion, like the scars, is really there, you know, it really affects someone. I think for me, I'm quite strong. I became very strong. I'm able to cope with this.
Yeah.
But there are other people who is not able to. There are still other people who still cannot find strength to report on it.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, I feel that if you're in a situation where you're a victim of this, you have to report it. You know, don't let them go away scot-free, because they can do this to others as well. Yeah. You know, give yourself a closure and be able to heal after you have reported and settled this whole thing. It's painful, but I think it's needed. Yeah, so I really, throughout the whole years, I really counted on the new friends that I made with my family, and also Jane in the recent years.
It's been how long?
Like really close, year. Like in the last one and a half years. Honestly, like, yeah, it's one of my best support I have. I remember there was one night that I caught her at like 6 a.m. crying, you know, and she was there. So I'm really very thankful for it, you know. Like, friends' support is so important. It really helped me to keep going. Yeah. So thank you, Jane. And I have tons of friends out there so who have really helped me through. So I'm really very thankful for that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, because I feel like it's not just sexual assault. It's just anything that anyone does in terms of crossing boundaries. Yeah, yes. You guys like need to speak up, because
anything that cross boundaries.
Yeah, because
yeah,
you shouldn't be the one suffering on your own, and it's a good message to put out there for people who are facing difficulties in speaking up about anything. It doesn't have to be a sexual assault or anything, you know. It can be any form of
bullying. Even like a case of bullying.
Yeah, exactly.
Or cyberbullying, you know. So, if it puts you in an uncomfortable position when it crosses your boundaries, you know, you should know your rights and just tell them off.
Maybe not tell them off, but like, you know, do something about it instead of keeping...
Do something about it, you know, protect yourself.
Yeah. Social media has its greatness around it. Like, spreading the news, really, like, raising awareness, like, you know, doing good in social media. But at the same time, social media has its downsides, for sure. It's like cyberbullying, for example. It's also a big thing. So, there's always pros and cons to social media. And if, like Kirsten said, if it puts you in a very uncomfortable position where it crosses your own boundaries, you know, speak up. It's like, let's not say it's 2020, but at the same time, like now...
It's 2020.
Everything has been raised. Like awareness and all that has been raised up. And, you know, people are a lot more accepting and open-minded about certain things that are happening around the world and the issues that we face on a day-to-day basis as well. So, you know, anything, you guys are struggling, you guys are facing certain things, do speak up or speak to the people around you. Your family and friends are your biggest support, and those who are true to you would stand by you and cherish those people.
Yes, really cherish those people.
Yeah.
No, I think on all of our part, you know, we can just be a little more kind in the words we put out to online or to people around us as well. You know, it doesn't hurt to be a bit more kind.
Yeah. Social media has its pros and cons, and whether you're an influencer or you're not an influencer, it doesn't matter, because ultimately it's also what like who you are as a person truly, because sometimes you never know, you know, they can post nice things and in the end they're not nice in real life and all that. But everybody is different, everybody sees social media differently, and social media has come a long way, a very long way. And, you know, stay true to yourself. I mean, that's what social media and, you know, your own platform is all about. I mean, with like everything going on in the world, there's, you know, we can always be kinder to ourselves and to other people, because there's so much going on already. We don't need to add more stuff, negative things go like onto people. Yeah, you never know. You never know who's struggling. You never know. Okay, to almost like wrap this up, right? I have one last question for you. Anybody in the world that's like your role model in life? The one that you look up to, or do you have a quote that you live by and all that?
Yes, actually, right, like I have a quote right in front of me here. It writes, "A bird sitting on a tree is never afraid of the branch breaking, because her trust is not in the branch but in her own wings."
Oh, wow.
How deep. Right?
That's so deep.
Yeah. How deep. Okay, so this quote tells me to believe in my own self, you know, be confident in my own abilities. Because I used to be a very insecure and low-confident girl. You know, although my abilities are there, but because of my own insecurities or my low self-confidence, I'm not able to excel in the things I want to do, or it limits me from trying to do something. So this quote really reminds me, because it's just right here, you know, I see it every day. It really reminds me that I need to trust my own self, you know, believe in my own capabilities and work on my own self, so I know that I can get to where I want to be. Yeah.
Okay, before we end this, what's the next plan for you?
Ooh.
3 years.
You know, everything is all in limbo now because of the current situation. Yeah. Right, but still doing my best to stay fit. So whenever the time calls that I have a competition, I'm ready to go. You know, we really don't know what happens next. I'm just trying to keep a very positive mind that
That's good.
But if not, you know, I'm ready for next year. So I'm excited for next year. That's I'm gonna stay fit. You know, I'm gonna be very strong, and so I can do well next year. There's a SEA Games next year, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, we've been working out together a little bit on Zoom.
Yeah.
Each other cool. Like there with Anna, but Anna is like
struggling. She's kind of casual athlete.
Yeah, she's a casual athlete now.
Yeah.
I'm going to end this, but at the same time, Do you want to do a TikTok together?
Now?
Yeah, I'm going to play the music and then we do a TikTok. You know the...
Oh! Oh my god, okay.
Okay, I'm gonna screen record here, but I'm gonna play the music, okay, on my phone.
It's not very in sync, but it's okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you guys have any questions for Kirsten, I mean, her Instagram is right here again. You want to drop her a DM? Sure. You want to slide in the DMs? Okay, cannot, because she got boyfriend already, so. Hello. Okay, we have come to the end. Thank you for tuning in with the JC Chats, and thank you for joining us, Kirsten, for our first episode. So, I hope you enjoyed the first episode that is put up for you guys and understand a little bit more about being an influencer or behind the scenes and certain struggles that we face. And if you have any questions or anything you want to know more about, you know, you can always drop a comment and, you know, I'll see you guys in the next episode, okay? Bye!